Are you ready?
You better get ready.
Get ready to dive into the heart of local sports action.
Broadcasting live from the heartland of Missouri, welcome
to the SEMO Scramble on SEMO ESPN.
Get set.
Because it's time to catch up on the latest local highlights, in-depth analysis, and interviews from the Blue Deal and beyond.
Marcus said, here we go.
And welcome in. Good Saturday morning to you. It is the SEMO Scramble here on SEMO ESPN Radio. That's 1220 AM, 93.5 FM, online at SEMOESPN.com. Clay Harrell, Rusty Hendricks. Clay, how's it going, man?
It is going great. It is a beautiful weather day. The Redhawks are at Kapaha. The Masters moving day at Augusta. Does it get any better than a nice Saturday like this? High of 80, I think I saw. So
yeah, it's going to be beautiful today. Be maybe even better tomorrow. So yeah, a lot of things going on. And look, I'll be honest, Clay, I'm not a huge golf fan. I know that you are, but when it's Masters week, I pay attention and I love the Masters. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's just something about it, the nostalgia about it in Augusta, and that's pretty special. That's one of those bucket list things. Would love to be able to go there and experience that at some point. That'd be so cool.
So I think we'd be remiss if we didn't start the show by, I know we're going to talk about the Masters later on, but I really hope that anybody listening did not listen to Rusty picking John Rahm or me picking Rory McIlroy to win the Masters, because they, in fact, were pretty close to the cut line. I know we'll get into it later, but I feel like we should start the show apologizing to our faithful listeners.
You should know by now, if we make a pick, don't pick that, do the opposite. You should know that by now.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could kind of look at the Cardinals, and I was, like, ready to send them to the moon, and here we are. Like, I'm kind of back in now. So, see, talk to me in 2 weeks, but yeah.
Yeah, it should be a fun show, talking Blues, talking Cardinals. We're going to talk a little bit about the Masters coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now. We're going to talk about SEMO baseball coming up a little bit, some local area baseball teams, a big announcement in high school basketball. We'll talk about that. And then we're going to round out the show, Clay, with SEMO tennis. Mary Beth Gunn, the head tennis coach for SEMO, we're going to get a chance to talk to her. That's going to be a fun interview as they picked up their OVC championship, regular season championship already. They have clinched that. So another special season for SEMO tennis.
Yeah, it's a nice weather day. Good lineup for the show. So just kind of settle in, maybe out on the porch or something, and let's get going.
All right, let's get started by listening to this. I don't think you're going to like it, Clay, but let's listen in.
An emphatic victory for the Golden Knights tonight. The defending Stanley Cup champs will have a chance to defend their championship. They punched their ticket to the postseason in 2024.
All right. That was the sound from the Golden Knights TV broadcast. So Las Vegas, the Golden Knights, they win in their game 7-2 over the Minnesota Wild, coupled with the 5-2 loss of the St. Louis Blues to the Carolina Hurricanes last night. And the Blues, Clay, are officially eliminated from playoff contention.
We were just talking about it before we came on, and I'm just glad it's over. I'm tired of seeing, like, oh, everybody, Twitter accounts I follow, like, oh, the Blues have, like, a 2.1% chance. I'm like, no, those chances went out the window the second that they lost to the Sharks at home. Like, it doesn't, like, you can't lose that game. I still think that you should have started Jordan Binnington in that game, but that's a conversation for another time. Time to turn the page. We talked about it a little bit last week. We talked about it before we started this morning. Time to turn the page. You got decisions to make with contracts you're moving out. You got a head coach to hire. I'll be very curious to see kind of the route they go there, because there's no chance that Drew Bannister gets this job, in my opinion.
No chance? You don't give him any chance at all?
No chance. He showed me nothing in the time that he took over. The team did. It was the same thing with Craig Berube. I think you got to look elsewhere.
Gerald Quenneville, will he be the next Blues coach, in your opinion?
So I was talking about this the other day with one of my friends. He has to, I think, be reinstated by the NHL still with the whole assault scandal from the Blackhawks in 2010. But if he's available, I think he's probably back in St. Louis. Like, if there's a chance that he can coach again in the NHL, would probably be a safe bet that he would have some pretty good odds.
Is that the first move that the Blues need to make in the offseason is they have to find their coach first before they can make any other decisions?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Like, you would think that you want to have a guy in place who, like, hey, like, you talked to him about a system. You know what kind of guys he likes to have, because if you just go out and, you know, let's say you trade away Kyrou or one of Kyrou or Buchnevich or both, well, maybe this new guy that comes in or other can kind of utilize speed like Kyrou. It's like, well, you know, that's kind of the way the NHL is moving. So I'd be kind of thinking you want to make sure you have a head coach in place before before free agency opens. And, you know, missing the playoffs, I guess, kind of gives you that chance. Like, you got a couple, you got a good head start. You can essentially start your outside look now if you really wanted to. Like, I say Bannister has no chance. I think he should have no chance. I do think that maybe Doug will probably at least give him an interview or however that works. Obviously, we don't know how the coaching circle thing works. I don't think he would end up being heavily considered. Who knows? I could be wrong, but
I think he's considered. But I think at this point, you know, if you're Doug Armstrong and his staff, you probably have already made your decision, or
if it's him or not.
Right.
I have a thought, and tell me what you think. Could the next head coach of the Blues be Steve Ott?
I don't think so.
Really?
I honestly don't think so. I don't. If you're going with Drew Bannister, I think, you know, okay, and then I think the staff that they have, Ott and some of the others, most of them will probably be in place. But if Drew Bannister is not the head coach, in my opinion, I think you clean house. I think pretty much everyone's going. Maybe you keep a guy, maybe you can keep an Ott, but I don't think he would be the head coach. I really don't.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I want Steve Ott to be the head coach. It just feels like that's a guy that's kind of lingered around the organization for a while, where it's like maybe he's just waiting for a chance, and this feels like that chance. But like I said, we don't know if Steve Ott even has the desire to be an NHL head coach. I think you have to look elsewhere. I'm trying to think. I don't even know if, like, Quenneville is the first guy that came to my mind, but it's like Patrick Waugh's back in the coaching game now with the Islanders, so it's like you just kind of sit and think, like, yeah. I don't know. I don't really know who it could be.
Pluck an assistant off another team, maybe an up-and-coming type coach, but I don't have that name. I don't know.
And that's the thing. It's like, I think people are probably expecting the Blues to hire, like, a Joel Quenneville or a Patrick Waugh type or Bruce Boudreau type. It very well, like you said, it could be some guy that you've never heard of. Like, and it's a guy that's just kind of waiting in the wings to make a name for himself. And I think that's something that, like, as Blues fans, we have to make sure we're receptive towards. Like, just because we haven't heard of this guy doesn't mean that he's not going to be a great coach.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it depends on where he's coming from, too. Now, if you go and pluck the assistant from, like, the Columbus Blue Jackets, then you're kind of looking at it like, okay. But if you go get, like, the guy that's been coaching next to John Cooper or a Patrick Waugh, or, you know what I mean? Like, somebody like that, like, then you kind of, it has some weight to it, and I think that you should be a little more open-minded.
All right, now as far as the players, look, there's only a handful of games left. Obviously, Jimmy Snuggerud, we talked about that last week. He's staying in college. But for the rest of the players and the team, what do you want to see from them? I'm assuming, you know, in my opinion, I would like to see all the young guys play. And, you know, we've seen, for example, Hayes not play the last couple of games. He's been a healthy scratch. You know, probably not in the plans of the Blues necessarily in the future. So, look, if they're not in the plans, don't play them. Play the guys that are in the plans. So, Perunovic is a guy that I want to continue to see on the defensive end. You know, we've seen, Jake Neighbors have an excellent year. Five guys with the 25 goals or more for the Blues?
And they're going to miss the playoffs. Isn't that crazy?
Missing the playoffs. That's crazy. But they don't have that elite guy, right? But,
well,
do they?
Robert Thomas, I think, has taken that step.
But not as a goal scorer, is what I guess.
No, that's fair. In terms of what you want to see, like,
Bolduc.
For me, I've seen everything I wanted to see from Bolduc. He caught a lot of flack for kind of being like a lazy player down the AHL. He's come up and he's been great. Like, I think he has like 5 or 6 goals, which you might think, like, okay, 5 or 6 goals. But for a guy to come up, his first taste of the NHL, like to bury 5 or 6 and kind of get it under your belt, like, he's going to be probably third line center next year would be my guess, and that fits into what you said. Like, Hayes probably isn't part of the plans at that point. Like,
it's good to see Bolduc on the top line of late with Thomas and what he can do there.
Yeah, that's why I think at that point you can do that, but next year when you kind of reset, like, you're looking at probably Thomas, Shen, Bolduc, and then I don't know if Sundqvist might be ready for the start, but he's re-signed.
Zach Dean's probably your fourth line center.
So it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, where does Hayes fit into those plans? Like, I don't think you're moving your captain out this year. That's a tough contract to move with the way he played. So it's like, Hayes, like you said, doesn't fit in the plan. He isn't like a huge financial hit anyway, because they got Philly to retain some of that salary. But yeah, Hayes probably isn't part of the plan. You look at, I think if you're Armstrong, you have to look at where you're at in terms of this retool, in quotes, and see, like, okay, do we want to re-sign Buchnevich? If not, he's probably on the way out. I've heard people talk about they think Kyrou could be on the way out. I don't know. I would be shocked if they move a Kyrou, but maybe that's what they feel has to happen.
Yeah, we'll see. So obviously some interesting things for the Blues in the offseason, a big and important offseason for them. I think the two biggest things, just my last statement before we get on to the Cardinals, Clay, two biggest things for the Cardinals in the offseason to address. They got to address the defense, try to continue to find a way to move one of those big contracts, add a, you know, a top defenseman back in. And then number two, they've got to find another top-line winger slash center.
Yeah, and I'd have to look, and I don't have the list in front of me. Like, we're getting to the point, and it's like this really mainly in the NHL, like free agency isn't that exciting because teams are locking their guys up. So it's like you got to kind of find the way or like an avenue to acquire a guy that's maybe disgruntled on another team. But like, you know, maybe a Brady Tkachuk.
That's a chance. I would love to see them go after him, but I don't know. Long shot.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a long shot at this point. There's not that many. Like, you don't get star guys going to free agency anymore. So, yeah, it'll be got to get creative.
All right. So the St. Louis Cardinals in Arizona last night. Lars Nootbaar able to make it back. He was activated, Clay, from the IL, and he already had an impression in the game last night
of what it was going to look like. Swing and a drive. Lars Nootbaar, break out the tape measure.
Listen to the Noots.
Hey, those aren't boos.
All right, Lars Nootbaar with a big blast and a home run for him. Hey, this also happened, and this was a really good sign, in my opinion, in the first inning last night, Clay.
Swing and a high fly ball, belted deep left. Nolan Arenado says, hello, Phoenix. 3-0 Cardinals. Oh, did that feel good.
A great call from Chip Carey. That was courtesy of Bally Sports Midwest. So the Cardinals with a 9-6 victory, a three-run blast for Nolan Arenado. Again, that home run again for Lars Nootbaar as well. Look, Steven Matz pitched a pretty good game for the Cardinals. He had to come out there in 4 2/3 innings.
That was not a good decision in my mind.
But, you know, look, give credit to the Diamondbacks. They're a solid team, probably a peer program. They were able to come back, tie the game, and then Goldie and Wynn with big hits there late in the game to secure the victory.
That swing by Goldie that gave him the game winner and the go-ahead run, he one-handed a changeup that was in the left-handed batter's box into center field. I mean, for a guy that's been struggling to get that kind of bounce, like that could be something like the jumping-off point. The same thing with Arenado. I think he's ready to go now. I think he was pressing a little bit. There was a lot that's been made. He hadn't hit a home run since August 19th. He hasn't hit a home run since August 19th. He hit one. Lourdes Gurriel did not move. So I imagine that he could be at a good point where he's going to take off. And lots of made of his struggles. He's still hitting like 260. Like, he's been pretty good.
Three hits last night.
He just hasn't been Nolan Arenado.
Right.
And I think
he's not hitting with power.
Exactly. And I think we're starting to get to that point. Now you just need Goldie to get going. And Lars Nootbaar, the home run, that was so great to see. And you mentioned Mason Wynn. I think I've said on this show, I don't know about you, Rusty, but I'm not too high on Mason Wynn. He's been great this year.
Yeah, he's been great. Hopefully he can, you know, continue that. You know, he was a pick that potentially could be a, you know, Rookie of the Year type guy. He was my pick to win a Gold Glove.
Yo, yeah, I was going to say, excellent. That feels like a lock after seeing him. I know he had an error last night, but oh my gosh, dude. He is like, I haven't felt that confident in a guy at shortstop for the Cardinals in a long time that he's going to make a play. The plays that he makes are unbelievable.
We mentioned it before, for the Cardinals to have sustained, continued success this year, obviously it's the pitching, right? But Goldie and Arenado, they have to be Goldie and Arenado, and maybe we're starting to see those guys start to click a little bit, but those guys need to play well for the Cardinals to play well.
Absolutely, and another thing, too, we didn't have a show, obviously, since then, but Victor Scott had a really bad game in that series finale against the Phillies. He bounced back in a huge way last night. He roped a double off the wall, so it's just good to see him bounce it back, and kind of interesting, he wasn't the one that went down when Lars came back, so very interesting.
Well, yeah, so how do you think Ollie Marmol will kind of, you know, use his outfield and use his bench with, you know, I think once Carlson comes back, I think Scott will go down. When he comes back, I don't know. But I do think that, Clay. I think at some point you're going to have to send down somebody. And I think at that point,
Alec Burleson.
You know, it's possible. It's possible. It really is. But I don't know. How do you think he's going to use his outfield, use his infield? Because right now you got Herrera. He didn't play last night. He's been hitting amazing. I mean, what do you do?
It's a good problem to have, right, at the end of the day. Like, I know people are like, the obvious one is like, when you got Carlson and Edmund coming back, just send down Burleson and Ciani. I'm not sending down Michael Ciani. I love what he brings to this team as a guy that comes in the seventh or eighth inning for Jordan Walker and patrols right field. He's quick. He gets the balls. Not the best bat, but that's not why he's on the roster. He's on the roster solely to play defense late in games, and they're not going to send him down. He fills his role perfectly. Burleson, to me, like, it's nothing against the guy, but it's like, Victor Scott, to me, I know his bat's not there, but he brings more to this club than Alec Burleson, I think.
Yeah, the only thing is with Scott, if he's up, he has to be a starter.
He has to play, 100%.
Yeah, he has to play.
And does Burleson reach like Steven Piscotty territory where you just kind of have to trade him? Like, there's really no room. I know the thing with Piscotty was more so he could be with his mom and everything out in Oakland. But, like, there's just kind of starting to become no room, like, it feels like, for Burleson. And
yeah.
And that's, again, not a knock on the guy. Like, I think he has a chance to be a good bat, but there, I just don't think there's going to be consistent reps here because maybe first base next year if Goldie's not there.
Yeah.
But I think they give that to, like, Luke and Baker or something like that. So, good problem to have if you're Ollie Wall. So, definitely decisions to be made, but I'm glad I'm not the one making them.
That's right. And last thing before we move on, Clay, how about Giovanni Gallegos? He gave up the big home run last night. He's been up and down a little bit this year. He had a tough year last year. JoJo Romero, Andrew Kittredge, Ryan Helsley have all been really solid so far this year. I think Helsley won kind of one bad game. But
like his first outing, right?
For the most part, those three have been nails. But Gio, I don't know, should we be concerned at all with him?
I don't know if concern's the right word. I think maybe you could just see more mold, like use him in maybe a little not as high leverage spot. Like just get him into a game and like he did last night. He got him in the fifth inning, but it's like you bring him in and like the rally's kind of going. Like maybe get him in the fifth or sixth inning of a game that's like 6-1 or like there's nobody on. He gets to start the inning. There's not really too much like pressure to it. But I don't know if I'm concerned necessarily because he's looked good at times this year. But like you said, it's like it's hard to be concerned with the way that Romero, Kittredge, and Helsley have looked. Like I loved the Andrew Kittredge pickup when it happened. I know people were like, oh boy, here we go. We're trading an outfielder to the Rays. But like Andrew Kittredge was an all-star. And you're seeing why this guy was an all-star like so far this year. He looks outstanding. He doesn't look like he cares when he pitches. He is the best delivery I've ever
nonchalant,
seen. It's just so like you could tell me that Andrew Kittredge doesn't care, and I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, but it's just like him. He's been great. JoJo's been fantastic. I know people were worried about if he would be as good this year. And then you got Helsley, and you don't have Keaton Middleton. Riley O'Brien's on the shelf. Like, there's so many pieces coming into this bullpen. So it's exciting times to be a Cardinals reliever.
All right, Cardinals play again tonight against the Diamondbacks in the desert, and we'll obviously keep an eye on them. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Seth Hudson. There's a fundraiser today at the Tea House in Cape Girardeau. Of course, we'll talk a little Masters with him and Masters talk after the conversation as well. We'll want to touch base with Seth Hudson of Hudson Chiropractic next on the SEMO Scramble. Welcome back in. SEMO Scramble here on SEMO ESPN Radio. Clay Harrell, Rusty Hendricks, and we're happy to be joined now by Seth Hudson of Hudson Chiropractic. Appreciate him. Obviously, Seth is, in his group, sponsors of the SEMO Scramble, and we appreciate that. But we also wanted to highlight the Lemon Drop Long Drive Golf Fundraiser today. It's at the Tea House in Cape Girardeau from 11 to 5 p.m. We have Seth talk about that. But first, Seth, I want to know, how's the soccer game going this morning? Your son is playing some soccer, so how are we doing there?
Man, it's a beautiful day. It's warming up outside, and he just kind of surprised me. He just scored a goal, and their team's doing well. They're having fun. They're getting better. That's all we can ask.
So do we have a future college soccer athlete maybe in the family? What do you think?
Man, well, I don't know. Hopefully he has a little more size than my brother and I had. You know, that always helps in any sport. But you know, he gets a little more competitive. We'll see. Right now he likes to just come out here and have fun with his friends on both teams. So you know, if he ends up being competitive, everybody has a chance.
Seth, before we get into the Lemon Drop Long Drive, I have to tell you, you had the best advertisement after the eclipse I've ever seen. Saying if you're sore from looking up, I laughed so hard at that. That was just great stuff.
I felt old. I was looking up for so long, and my old football neck injury, that's kind of how I got into chiropractic, started flaring up on me a little bit. I was like, man, I wonder how many people's necks are hurting after looking up at this. So I tried to make it a little funny at the same time. So I'm glad someone got a chuckle out of it.
That's awesome. Well, Seth, one of the main reasons we wanted to have you on real quick was the Lemon Drop Long Drive, that fundraiser, which was founded in 2021. And it's an event by the Walks Foundation to raise awareness for boys, men, and families to fight against testicular cancer, as well as funds for supporting patients in our area. And they're going to be going on an event today at the Tea House in Cape Girardeau from 11 to 5. Can you tell us more about that? And just wanted to bring light to that today.
Yeah, really appreciate you doing that. It's a neat foundation. It's a neat event. Long drive competitions are difficult to put on, and they're fun. They're fun to be a part of. They're very difficult to keep it in the grid, keep it in play, but it raises awareness for such a good cause. You know, one out of every 250 men that you know will be diagnosed with testicular cancer, which is shocking to me. And it's lemon drop means, lemon drops are a type of candy they give cancer patients when they're going through radiation and chemo and different treatments because their mouth tastes like metal and it gets real dry, and it helps them when they're going through those tough times. And that's where the lemon drop name came from. So it's we're trying to raise awareness. So, one of every 250 men that get diagnosed with it, they catch it early enough to be treated. Cause it's not, if you catch it early, it tends to be very treatable, and it's not as big of a deal. And I had no idea it was that prevalent until we got into this. It's just a good cause. It's amazing how many people in Cape are affected, and that it raises money and does a good job for these local patients too.
And also, you're part of that event. You're going to be there today as well. So you got some long drives in you. What do you think?
Man, I've been struggling off the tee box lately. Maybe I'll get lucky and hit a few good ones. We'll see.
Do you know, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but, if someone hasn't signed up, can, people still come and go and be a part of this event, or, can they watch? What else can people be involved in?
Yeah, I think the open divisions start right away, like 11 o'clock. You can go and sign up. I know there's still spots for youth, like under 18, and women. There's a few spots left. I think the men's division, the open division, sold out quickly, but sometimes people don't show up. And there's always, I'm sure if there's time, they'll let anybody. Why would they turn down a little bit extra entry fee money to raise money for cancer? I have a feeling they wouldn't turn anybody away.
And last thing for me, Seth, do you know how people can give, or what can they do if they show up to the fundraiser?
You bet. You can write a check or cash, or obviously cash, or a check. You could, it's the Walks Foundation, and you could show up to Tea House near Arena Park. And there'll be people collecting money there, or you can go to the Lemon Drop Long Drive page, and there's a link, Facebook page, and there's a link on there to the website where you can donate any time of the year. So it's any amount's appreciated.
Seth, last thing for me, and we'll get you out of here. So last week, Rusty and I made our Masters predictions, and I thought Rory McIlroy was going to complete the Grand Slam. He's now, I think, 4 over par. Rusty thought John Rahm was going to repeat. He's 5 over par. So we're going to make this easier on you. You got moving day to day at Augusta. Who's your pick to win the Masters here in the last 2 days?
Man, I don't see how you can bet against Scottie Scheffler right now, honestly. I think if I was a smart man, I'd put money on him. And he's just a different type of ball striker. So if we actually get some good weather, if we had decent weather the first few days, I think people like Rory and Rahm would have done a lot better. And it's just, that's why it's so amazing how good Max Homa and Scheffler and these guys are. It beat 6 or 7, 6 under in those conditions on a course. I was lucky enough to go last year, and walking around, they had similar conditions last year, and it got even cold. It got really cold, and nobody could score last year. So how they're managing that wind and course right now is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I kind of think that the way Scottie Scheffler's been going, I don't really think I can blame you for taking that one, because it seems like he might be the heavy favorite at this point.
I mean, he can just rattle off birdies like nobody's business since Tiger Woods' prime. So he's hard to bet against right now.
All right. Well, Seth, once again, I really appreciate the time this morning, and I know taking some time out of your busy day at the soccer game for your son, and Good luck at the long drive event there for the Lemon Drop at the Tea House in Cape. So, again, appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
You bet. All right, that is Dr. Seth Hudson of Hudson Chiropractic, proud sponsor of the SEMO Scramble. So I want to, again, say our appreciation to Seth and his team, Dr. Crawford and others as well, for sponsoring the show. But so what do you think? You know, Max Homa, Scotty Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau atop the leaderboard at the Masters at -6. Can anyone else emerge to win, Clay, or do you think it's theirs to lose?
I think it's going to be Homa or Scheffler. If anybody gives it a run, I could see Colin Morikawa at 3-under maybe making a run there to the top of the leaderboard. But I think Seth hit it right on the head. Scotty Scheffler seems like the safe pick. This guy's going at an insane rate right now. But no, I would like to see Max Homa win it, though. Max Homa liked one of my tweets on Twitter one time, so I am a big Max Homa guy now ever since.
That's awesome. So sunny skies today at Augusta, still a little windy, but not as bad as it has been. Tomorrow's going to be a good weather day, so that we'll see if, you know, maybe somebody can pick it up tomorrow on the final day. Tiger, though, big story, made the cut for the 24th consecutive year. That's pretty impressive. Obviously a record there. Look, Tiger, I think last check he was around, what, +1, something like that? Or,
yep, he's one over going on the weekend.
But still, I mean, for him dealing with all the back issues and what he had to do, you know, he only finished, what, 13 holes in the first round, or the first day, rather.
He had to play 23 yesterday.
I mean, that's insane with, you know, what he had to deal with, you know, physicality-wise, and still what he was, you know, he did a pretty good job.
And the people at the Masters did a good thing. Like, they got him to finish those 5 holes, and they got his group right back out there, like, an hour later. I think that was probably the way to do it. Otherwise, I don't think he finishes. I think his body probably locks up, and it's tough to finish because he's looked a little, like, kind of gimpy at times.
Yep.
But credit to him, man. He's battling through it, and hopefully he can finish the weekend because he's a one over. I don't think he's necessarily going to win the whole thing, but it would be cool just to maybe see him move into, like, a top 30, top 15 push.
So Scotty Scheffler, the favorite before this the Masters started, probably the favorite now as well in what he's been able to do.
Only 136 yards, and the bonus is a flat lie.
You'd expect this to be inside 10 feet from that distance. And it is.
So Scotty Scheffler, along with Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, it'll be fun to see how things end. Not only those three, or maybe someone else can emerge. We'll see, but always fun at the Masters, Clay.
Yeah, it's just there's something about it, you know. Masters Sunday tomorrow. I'm very excited. I have to cover some SEMO baseball, but should be able to – that should wrap up in time to get home and catch the guys coming down, probably the back nine. They seem to be taking quite a bit of time. Took, like, Rory's Scheffler and Schauffele 6 hours to play yesterday, which is just not something you can maintain, I don't think. But, no, Masters Sunday, beautiful weather weekend. Moving day to day, exciting times.
So most of the action is going to be taking place this afternoon for round 3. You have Hogarth at -4, Morikawa and Davis at -3, Odberg at -2. So, again, you have some guys in the mix, but we'll see who can come out on top for that green jacket. One last thing before we move, you know, last year's winner, Clay, of the Masters, they always get the opportunity to have a Masters meal or set up the Masters meal for the next season. So John Rahm obviously won last year. He's from Spain. He had a Spanish flair to his Masters meal. What are some things that you would have in your Masters meal? For me, I've got to add some barbecue. I love barbecue, so that's got to be a thing. Give me some Pappy's ribs in my Masters meal out of St. Louis. But what would be included in yours?
I like the barbecue, like some pulled pork, mashed potatoes. My grandma's mashed potatoes. I know she's listening. She listens every week, so shout out to my grandma. But she makes great mashed potatoes. Specifically those mashed potatoes. I have to make like that a point. And then I don't know. Give me like an ice cream bar. I know the people walking the Masters. They probably like that's how you. That's what you do. You put out a big ice cream bar. You don't eat it. You sandbag them, and then you go win the Masters. I think that's the move. Now, if I'm ever in charge of making it, not even a Masters dinner, a dinner for winning any golf tournament ever, you'll never hear from me again because I'll just be celebrating for the rest of my life. I mean, you could just put me out in like a golf tournament with 8-year-olds. If I manage to win that, then hey, great stuff, man. I'll make a dinner.
Hey, anytime I have the option to pick or think about food, I'm in.
Oh, dude, yeah, me too. I'm going to St. Louis for do some shopping with my girlfriend, and I'm already thinking about, all right, what are we doing for dinner? Like, I'm a big, what are we doing for dinner, guys, mm-hmm. especially when we're out in St. Louis. There's so many options.
Yeah. All right. Well, Clay, appreciate that. We're going to take another break. Big announcement that was came in high school basketball yesterday. We'll talk about that coming up next. SEMO Scramble rolling on here on SEMO ESPN. SEMO Scramble here on SEMO ESPN. Excuse me as I lose my voice. Clay Harrell, Rusty Hendricks, glad to have you in here on this Saturday morning. A big announcement in high school basketball yesterday. Jadis Jones, who I think there's, you know, Missouri basketball or Gatorade Player of the Year, Mr. Show Me Basketball, three-time SEMO Conference Player of the Year. He's a three-time SEMO Ball Player of the Year. I think there's a good chance he's going to win again. And he made his decision, finally, on where he's going to be playing his college basketball. And this is from IQ Hoops with a Z. And we'll let Jadis tell you right here.
My decision is what fits best for me and my family. With that being said, I will be committing to Lindenwood University.
All right, hopefully you heard that. Lindenwood University is where Jadis Jones will be playing his college basketball. I have to admit, a little surprised by that. What a huge get for Lindenwood. I know SEMO, you know, recruited him. He was in the mix. Obviously, there's a number of schools. Jadis Jones originally had committed to Coastal Carolina to play football with kind of a, you know, an option to maybe walk on there to play a little basketball as well. You know, I think we know that Jadis' passion is basketball. I don't know. Maybe in the future we'll see Jadis, you know, put some pads back on at Lindenwood. I don't know. But what do you think about the decision?
First off, congratulations to Jadis. Huge accomplishment Absolutely. To go Division I. So congratulations to him. That's awesome stuff. I think at first I was surprised, but Lindenwood's had some pretty good recruits. They got two of the top 10 players recruits in Missouri. So Lindenwood's doing some big things. And hey, I mean, I guess I was shocked because I kind of thought, hey, maybe it would be SEMO. I heard people say like maybe they thought Memphis. But no, I mean, good for him going to Lindenwood. He's staying in Missouri, new to the OVC. And, you know, I feel like they could be on the up and up. They're doing some big things recruiting-wise. And so, yeah, I mean, definitely a little surprised. Wouldn't be surprised maybe to see him play some football in the future. I don't know anything.
Right.
But I could see him maybe playing some football at some point.
And, you know, For Jadis, like you said, congrats to him. It's great to see him and, you know, still get an opportunity to see him as, you know, he'll come to Cape to play SEMO. And I think at Lindenwood, too, he'll maybe get a chance to play right away there.
You know, I think if he plays right away, I think I have an idea of what might be the highest attendance game for SEMO men's basketball next year. Just a hunch.
Yeah, maybe. I want to give a shout-out to Notre Dame boys who won the SEMO Conference Tennis Championship. I know, Clay, you have a story up right now on SEMOBall.com regarding that. It's the fourth consecutive championship for them in men's tennis, boys tennis. And I'll tell you what, another great season for them, a team that, you know, has a chance to do some things in the postseason. And again, winning that conference title.
Yeah, they were dominant yesterday, too. They nearly swept the entire tournament. So it was a pretty dominant day for them. Congratulations. And it was a fun day of tennis. It was windy, but it was quite fun out there.
So also, I want to touch on some local baseball teams and get your thoughts. I know you've had a chance to cover a few. You've seen a few games locally. Who are some teams that stand out to you? I know for me personally, Scott City is a team that is really impressed in Class 3, the second-ranked team in the class, you know, currently. Chaffee is another, you know, really solid team. Levi McKinney at the top of that rotation. Portageville has a chance to have another strong season. Jackson is still Jackson. Look, maybe you could say they're not quite as dominant as what they have been, but they, you know, just got John Paul Sauer back. He's back in, starting to pitch a little bit. He officially signed his commitment there with Tulane. So, look, Jackson's still going to be Jackson, And then Oran, a team in Class 1, is still dominant.
Yeah, for me, Scott City is unbelievable. They're playing great baseball. They're hitting the ball. They're getting great pitching. Like, that is the recipe for success, if you ask me, in baseball. You can hit the ball and you have great pitching. It kind of feels like it'll be tough to lose. Chaffee, like you said, Levi McKinney is just an outstanding talent. Always fun to watch him play, and they're playing some good baseball right now. But, yeah, for me, it was Scott City. I don't know. I'm sure that, like, the expectations they had were high. But for them to be, are they, what, 14-15-1 at this point in the year? Like,
yeah,
just
one
outstanding
loss.
Season for them. And they're still looking to keep it rolling. Obviously, you want to keep playing good baseball here down the next month or so. But when I talked to Skyler Cobb the other day, like, he's like, yeah, we're like, I'm paraphrasing. He's basically like, you know, we're winning games, but we're still not playing perfect baseball. Like, they're still obviously looking to get better. So, you know, to be 14-15-1 and still looking to get better has got to be pretty exciting if you're a Scott City Ram.
Yeah, Scott City has been impressive for sure. Look, some might say, look, they don't have a necessarily daunting schedule, but look, they have a win over Portageville, a solid Saxony team. Their one loss this year is against Farmington, who's had an excellent year. You know, East Prairie's a pretty good win. They have a win against Oran. Bernie's very good. Kelly's very good. So, look, they've had a great season. They're actually 17-1 now.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
How about SEMO baseball? They picked up a 1-0 win over Southern Indiana. Bryce Cannon with a cannon shot. His 8th home run of the year for the lone run for SEMO.
Is this an OVC game? Because usually I always thought the OVC was like, you're seeing a lot of runs scored. But we had a pitcher's duel last night at Cavahaugh, and Hayden Dow gets the win. I think he went, what, like 5 2/3? So big game for the Redhawks, and get some good pitching is huge, and I'm sure Coach Sawyer's just thrilled with that.
Yeah, so another big series for SEMO. Look, they're right in the mix towards the top of the OVC. They're now 7-3. In the Ohio Valley Conference, you'd like to see them take this series, you know, here at home at Kappa Hall. So another game today at 2 p.m. You can hear that one right here on these airwaves on SEMO ESPN.
Yeah, you could wrap up the series today. Like, that would be huge. Going to Sunday, you already have the series won, going for a sweep. I think that you could go into Sunday with a rubber match, but if you can wrap it up today, I think you got the vibes are where you want them to be, and it maybe you go for that sweep and you really start rolling, because they got that big win over Little Rock and then the extra inning win over SIU, and now it feels like maybe a corner has been turned because they're playing some pretty fundamental baseball right now.
So Tennessee Tech and SEMO both tied atop of the standings at 7-3. Southern Indiana, by the way, is at 4-6. In the OVC conference with their record. So Tech's going to be a team. Obviously, they're in SEMO. Those two fight it out. Little Rock, that was a big series last week. SEMO was able to grab a game to stay atop Little Rock, now currently at 6-4. So, look, Little Rock maybe has the best pitching staff, but SEMO, you could argue, has maybe, or at least towards the top of the best offense.
Yeah, by far. Their offense is dynamic, and they can explode. You've seen it, like, multiple times this year. They can put up 60 runs in a series. Like, they are that good, and I think you're going to continue to see that here as the season progresses.
All right, Clay, the St. Louis Battlehawks are off today. They'll play tomorrow at 2 p.m. against the Brahmas on ABC. They won last week. I don't know if you got a chance to see any of the highlights or see any of that game, Clay, but, you know, at the Dome, the Battle Dome, as they call it, had a nice comeback, went a field goal to win it. As time expired, A.J. McCarron has been good for them, but to me the biggest story is over 40,000 fans in attendance set a record for the UFL.
I was about to say that. I was leaving the Cardinal game when everybody was rolling into the Dome, and it was a nightmare traffic-wise. But, awesome stuff. It was a busy sports weekend in St. Louis last week. I almost went to the City game after the Cardinal game, but I didn't. Good thing I didn't. It was a 0-0 draw, so that would have maybe been a little bit of a snooze fest. But for the Battlehawks to draw in that many people, man, like, just give St. Louis an NFL team back. Like, what are we doing? You know, like, just move the Carolina Panthers.
Here's the thing. I think for it to work, it needs to be an expansion team.
That's fine. That'd be great. That'd be an expansion team. Like, that would be even better, I think. And I don't see why the NFL wouldn't want to expand at some point. I don't know how high St. Louis would be on their their priority. And I know this isn't what we're talking about, but just it was news. It seems like the Arizona Coyotes are moving to Utah,
yes.
by the way.
Yeah.
Speaking of expansion, sort of, they're moving, relocating.
What do you think about that?
Strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. But, I mean, that's been an ongoing thing for as long as I can remember between, like, Tempe and Phoenix and where they're going to play. And now finally Bettman's like, all right, you're going to Salt Lake City. So.
And then there's still the uncertainty with the Oakland Athletics or Vegas Athletics.
No,
who knows?
No. You mean they're going to Sacramento, but they're going to be the A's. They're not going to be the – I'm sorry, and I try to rein in what I say. Their owner is a joke. That guy is a joke. The worst owner in baseball. I cannot stand that guy. Those people in Oakland deserve so much better. Just an absolute joke that John Fisher is.
Yeah, and it makes you feel for him. You know, again, what fans for the Rams had to deal with. Man, it may be worse than that in Oakland.
And I know the thing is people are going to say, oh, well, like, nobody shows up. Nobody shows up because this loser doesn't put anybody on the field. Like, look at their payroll. It's a joke. Like, it is a joke. And I can't believe that Manfred or somebody hasn't stepped in and been like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's
sad.
It is pathetic.
I agree. It's really tough to see, you know, that's the thing, too, is like, even last year it was a big issue to where there was literally I think it was a possum that was, like, living in the press box of Oakland last year. You know, they had issues with, like, when it rained, there was, like, leaks and stuff. I mean, come on.
And all of this, though, it's going to be great for the city of Sacramento. It's a city that's thriving. They're going to get an MLB team for, like, what, 4 or 5 years, I think? And that's if Vegas wants a team. I don't know what happens if Vegas decides they don't want them. Like, it just becomes such a disaster. I'm glad, again, kind of similar to how I felt about Ollie Marmol making a lineup. I'm glad I'm not the one making this decision.
Yeah, need to figure that out, that's for sure. All right, we're going to take our last break. When we come back, Clay, we're going to talk to Mary Beth Gunn. She is the head women's tennis coach for SEMO as they picked up another OVC championship title. We'll talk to her coming up next. Stay with us. SEMO Scramble continues on right here on SEMO ESPN. Welcome back in. It's the SEMO Scramble here on SEMO ESPN Radio. Clay Harrell, Rusty Hendricks, and we're happy to be joined now on our hotline by SEMO women's tennis coach Mary Beth Gunn. So, Coach, appreciate you joining us this morning. How are we doing?
We're doing great. Beautiful weather out today for some tennis.
Yeah, so ninth season now as the head coach at SEMO, and 11-6 so far this year, undefeated 6-0 in conference play. You clinched that OVC championship title, the second straight title, the third since 2021. So first question I have for you is, how uplifting was that last match win over Southern Indiana, not only for the team this year, but for the program as a whole?
You know, we are very fortunate here to be at SEMO. We love it, and it's kind of a relief, you know, because you work hard for this every day, starting in August. So it's a relief when you have these goals and that you're able to accomplish what you set out to do.
Coach, I was wondering if you could talk about just how hard it is not only to win one conference title, but to go back-to-back. I'm assuming, like, you're going into every match, you're getting every team's best shot, so how tough is it to win a second straight conference title?
Yeah, it's difficult because we most definitely have a target on our back. People want to beat us, you know, and also I think sometimes people kind of set their lineup to beat you because you're the team that's the target. So it does make it more of a challenge because of that. And you have to work hard every day to try and overcome those things and be as ready as you can.
So I want you to talk a little bit about your players. Who has helped kind of lead the way this year, really elevated their level of play so far for your team?
Well, we have a couple of returners that have been big for us. Daniela Halachikova, she was the OVC Player of the Year last year. So to have her return in the number one spot, and she's gone undefeated in conference play as well in singles and doubles. So, you know, that's been huge to have her back this year. We also have Kalinescu back as well. She played 5 for us last year, but she worked really hard over the summer, worked really hard in the fall, and now she's in the 2 position, another player who's undefeated in her spot. So it's big to be able to start off the match with really strong 1 and 2. We also got a grad transfer in Palu. She was the number 1 at North Alabama. She played 3 for us. And I mean, I think off the top of my head, I think she's only lost one match this season.
Wow.
You know, so I mean, she's just been really big in that 3 spot for us as well.
Coach, you know, looking ahead, week from today at 10 a.m., you all will be in action in the semifinals of the OVC tournament. As you all prepare kind of throughout this week, what's the mindset that you're trying to instill in your group here as you guys prepare for the OVC tournament?
I think it's really important to stay humble, for one. You know, we're not going to just go there and people give it to us. You know, we're going to have to work hard and focus on every point in order to come away with a tournament championship. So, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, is not showing up just expecting to win. You can go in with confidence, which is great, because now we've been in an OVC final 2021, 22, and 23. So we know what that looks like and what that feels like. So we feel confident going in. But at the same time, knowing that we need to do the right things and staying humble and knowing that we've got to do the right things in order to get the outcome we want.
How much do you think that experience plays out, you know, in helping you as well, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, I have 3 players in the lineup right now who are going to graduate with 4 rings, and that's pretty huge. So we're really proud of that fact. And, you know, our first year that we went to the final against Austin Peay, we lost in the final. And so we know what it feels like to be on both ends, to win and to lose, and that's actually huge. And at the time, obviously, it didn't feel great to lose. It was a really tough match. But, you know, looking back on it now, I think it helped us in the future, you know, to be a little bit more hungry and to have both of those feelings.
Coach, just the last thing I got for you. You know, when it comes to the recruiting trail and kind of maintaining the success that you've had, how has the kind of the recruiting process continued to evolve for your program? Like, what do you do to bring in great talent? You know, what's kind of your scouting process? Because you've obviously kept this program at a very high level competitively.
I think it helps a ton that we've now have, you know, before 2021, we had never won an OVC championship and never been to the NCAA tournament. So now we have that foundation of where we've had, you know, 3 or 4 years of success. And now on the recruiting trail, you're able to sell that success. Hey, we've been to the NCAA tournament twice. You know, we've won 4 titles, you know, things like that. You know, hey, I have people who's graduating with rings. You know, that is a big sale. People want that experience. So we're most definitely, and I think that helped me recruit my graduate player that I got from North Alabama as well. She wanted, she didn't get a ring there. She wants one. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that went into her choice of picking SEMO.
Awesome stuff. Well, Coach, good luck the rest of the way. We'll be keeping tabs next weekend, and just hopefully you can come home with that tournament title as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate her time. Mary Beth Gunn is actually, UT Martin grad.
2008 UT Martin, I
believe. But here at SEMO, you know, one thing I thought about asking her was, how it is, you know, going back and playing there, you know, SEMO against UT Martin. But look, it's been 9 years now as the head coach for SEMO, and I think she's bleeding red through and through.
Yeah, awesome stuff. I mean, they are phenomenal. Like, they play great tennis. Like, you to win back-to-back OVC titles 3 and 4 years, I mean, crazy stuff. And so I think they probably should be the favorites heading into next weekend's OVC tournament. And for good reason. They are playing some great tennis at a great time.
Yeah, no doubt. And for them to be able to just jump right into the semis, that's important for them. And, you know, she mentioned it, Clay. Look, everyone's out to get them. Everyone's out to get them. They want to find a way to get that big upset. So for SEMO, stay composed, you know, have a good focus and mindset, and, you know, just hopefully they can be on their A game.
Yeah, you're going to get every team's best shot. You're at this point in the tournament where you're not going to see teams that maybe aren't great, but, you know, in the regular season, if you're playing a program that maybe is having a down year, it doesn't matter. You're the back-to-back champion in your conference. Like, you're getting everybody's best shot every single game, every single match, and that only makes you better. Like, it's going to – those are prepare you for moments like they're about to embark on here next weekend.
All right, what else, Clay? What else is going on at the SEMOball.com? What else are you covering? What are you paying attention to?
Yeah, so off today. Tomorrow, got SEMO baseball. Monday, Notre Dame, Cape Central baseball. Tuesday, I'll have some more tennis features from this last week, or from yesterday at the SEMO Conference Tournament. Trying to think, Thursday, working on a preview, actually, a feature, like a preview for the SEMO spring game, because that's next Saturday.
Okay.
Next Saturday evening, I'll be covering that.
You're continuing, you just put out a a column on Ryan Flournoy. You've done a nice feature on him the last several weeks, and that'll continue. Yes. As the draft coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
Clay, so
forgot about that. That's a good point. I've already done two parts. It's going to be ideally a five-part series is kind of what we're looking at. The second part was supposed to come out, like, not this week, but last week. But Ryan's a pretty busy guy, if you guys didn't know. He's been visiting with a lot of teams. I saw recently he visited with the Bills. But the week I was trying to talk to him, he was like, oh, like, I'm in Indianapolis. Like, we could talk later tonight. And I'm like, well, I'm covering a game. And I was like, what about tomorrow? And he was like, well, I'm in Chicago. I have a visit with the Bears. I'm like, hey, you take care of what you got to take care of. We'll touch base when you're free. Huge shout out to Ryan for being so willing to work with me. The next story of this five-part that comes out is going to be all about college, from his time at Central Missouri to Iowa Western Community College and his SEMO career. And then two more after that.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
Look forward to the draft. Boy, I crossing my fingers that he can get drafted, you know, maybe the mid-rounds, and I think that would be a pretty special moment. And, you know, no one's been drafted above the sixth round for SEMO, so that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, and that's the hope is, like, the last story, no matter what happens on that draft weekend, it'll be, like, after that to talk to him, just, hey, what's next? Like, either he got drafted fourth round, highest drafted player, or maybe he goes undrafted and he's going to sign with somebody. So whatever's next for him. So very excited to see this series continue to progress. I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out J.C. Reeves for helping me with this idea. He was kind of helping me organize my thoughts, and it's been fun. It's been enjoyable to talk to Ryan every week because he's like a wealth of football knowledge too, and getting to hear his story is really cool. Been playing football since he was like five, I think he said. So go check it out on SEMO Ball. It's a fun couple pieces so far, and three more to come.
All right, so Clay, appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend. Everyone else, have a good weekend out there and enjoy.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Max Homa, go win the Masters.
All right, for Clay Harrell, I'm Rusty Hendricks. Thanks so much for joining us. It's the SEMO Scramble here on SEMO ESPN Radio. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to the SEMO Scramble on SEMO ESPN.
Tune in every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 for a dash of hometown pride right here on the SEMO Scramble.
Yes, don't miss the latest news, scores, and stories that matter most to local sports enthusiasts.
From the Boot Hill and beyond.
Right here on SEMO ESPN, 1220 AM, 93.5 FM, the SEMO ESPN app, and at SEMOESPN.com.